KFS Mobile.
4650 member.
How you doing today?
Yep, just got called back out to emergency work. Blah, and training.
I'm riding around playing with APRS at the moment.
Cool things you can do with it yet?
Working on. I see there's some cool stuff to do. I just can't get it seemed to work all the time.
Well, I currently have mine disabled because I'm using the other side to, as a receive only for work. It's kind of cool, but I do have an iGate up running at my house. And, you know, there's a lot of interesting little strange, bizarre things that you can actually do with it, if you can remember all the commands.
Trying to track myself if I go for an off-road ride so I can be tracked at home, but having difficulties tracking it at all times, so.
The iGate issues, several years ago we lost the best iGate we had up here. There is still one up on Caesar's Head, but it does have blind spots.
Far from there right now at the moment. I'm over here off the off-road trail, seeing if it's going to get picked up. If not,
close to it. It's like anything, VHF, you know, if you get up underneath the umbrella of the antenna, it's going to lose you.
Probably what happened. I got up here in Cleveland and got pulled over and lost it there and haven't picked it back up since, so.
You're safe up there and, you know, don't fall off the planet there.
Stay dry out there.
SM0TR.
This is Rare DX, KJ4CTD. Actually, it's not too rare. I was on here yesterday.
Just wanted to say Merry Christmas to you and yours, and haven't seen you in a coon's egg. I'm just sitting here messing with an outdoor light I'm going to put in my chicken pen.
And I'm good electrocuted. You know it is raining out there, Tom. And Merry Christmas to you and your wife, and all your youngins.
Believe me, I'm not going out there today. I just remembered I had what kind of looks like a porch light. And I was thinking it was one of them two-pin GU type of the old fluorescent. It looks like a screw, you know. And I opened it up and took the globe off. And by golly, it's an LED. So I want to try to keep them despicable chickens awake a little longer because they are not producing any eggs.
W2T.
Hey, Rusty. And, well, I hope you're not planning on trying to keep them warm with that LED lamp, but okay. Anyway, pass it over to Rusty, KJ4CTD member.
And to both of you. And I'll see somebody else is out in that nasty weather today like I was earlier. Only ran to the post office, to the grocery store. Hello to both of you. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, good morning, Rusty, and Merry Christmas. Renice's been baking stuff like crazy right now. She's making ham salad. But I've been delivering to the neighbors. in the rain, I might add. Oh, why, this is not to keep them chickens warm, but if they don't start laying, they're going to get warm under the rotisserie. But, no, I think it's 25 watts. It's just a fun project, and I'll plug it into a timer that there is a LED light on the inside of the hen house, and there's two hen houses, and they come on just before sunset and stay on for a couple of hours, and then they come on about 5 o'clock in the morning, and maybe to muster them out of bed a little bit. And go ahead, Wyatt.
Maybe you ought to actually threaten the chickens to their face. You know, sometimes I do that at work and say, well, I can put in a recommendation to TSA if you can't get it to work right. But, yeah, if it wasn't for the fact that they have an outage, I would not be out in this mess. Ugh. 54CTD.
Roast the chickens in a new form or what? Or in post office and come home. Now I'm sitting here sorting QSL cards into the bands and the categories they go in. So I've got a bunch of these to figure out where they go. And then I get to file them in my boxes. And then I get to start pulling cards to fit applications for the Century Club. But anyway, and all, got church tonight. We got Christmas Eve service. And I have to be over at the church early at 4:30 to at 4 o'clock to start opening up for the 5 o'clock service and give everybody a chance to get in and do what they need to do. So I'm trying to get things out of the way before I head off to do that. Go ahead, Tom, W2T.
Yeah, we had a break in there. Go ahead, break.
Here before I see, Merry Christmas. You tried to do a new rotisserie chicken thingy with the lamps or what?
They don't need any warmth. They got a nice hen house, Gabriel. And Merry Christmas to you and your family. And it's just I guess you'd say I can look out the window at night, and I get up several times and always peek out there and see if there's any varmints. I've sniped a couple of possums out there before, and then there was a dog out there one night about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I throwed an M80 out there. That's what I call them, but they're not. And that took care of him. But the possums, they went to that big possum heaven in the sky. Go ahead, Wyatt. KJ4CTD, this is N0TR. And what are you doing, Wyatt?
Has an intermittent outage, and I'm hoping that it'll be, you know, completely broke or completely fixed by the time I get there. Preferably completely broke. That's so much easier to troubleshoot.
The Omni, or what's broke?
The vertical quad flip.
Okay. Do they have a Vassy down there too?
The runway are actually on both ends are actually out of service, so they have no vertical guidance at the moment.
It's not a good day for that. I've heard quite a bit of air traffic this morning, and I just figured out what their ground was, 121.4, if I'm not mistaken. Roger. Okay, we'll pass it over to Mr. Rusty, W2TN0TR.
Okay. Yeah, well, have fun out there in that rainy weather, Wyatt. I don't wish that on anybody. That's just a way to get sick, and a lot of people have been from all of this weather. Keeps changing day to day, so, you know, you can't figure out what you're going to do today and what you're going to do tomorrow and how to dress and everything else. And if you leave if it's warm when you leave the house, it'll get cold before you get home, so you've got to figure out what to change into and everything else. So, oh, well. It is what it is, but be careful out there today playing around out there in that weather. Go ahead, Gabriel.
Yeah, man, his weather is really nasty, but it's better, I guess, rain than snow. I don't know what is going to be worse. Maybe it's going to turn everything on ice tomorrow. I have no idea, but, well, this year is finishing, finally, thanks God, and hope next year it doesn't come that gnarly like this one. Give us a break for a change. That will be nice. Good thing I get part of the antenna job before it rains, but it let me stranded half of the way without 40 meters, so that's no good, but I guess I can survive for a couple days out of it.
Here. Wyatt, was it you or me?
It's actually your turn, but somebody doubled up on Gabriel's front end.
Susie Farm City, Matt. I was up facing the Destinate, delivering a couple of Christmas presents, but just want to wish you a Merry Christmas and 73.
73, this is N0TR. Oh, yeah, I heard one plane on Unicom this morning, Wyatt, and he asked him if he could taxi up to the hangar, which I'm not sure where it was because I just turned the radio on, and he had a sick passenger that needed to barf. I don't know if it was from the wind turbulence, or you never know. Could be COVID.
And I looked earlier. It was pretty turbulent up there. It's a pretty strong front coming through. They've been reporting really high winds all over the place. And when they called to tell me about the hours, they're like, we got really strong winds. We don't know if that's what's causing it to go in and out or not. So, but this equipment's antique. You know, not quite tube style antique. It's one model newer than that. It is, you know, through hole mail, solid state. But it doesn't know what a clock is. It doesn't know what, you know, it doesn't have any of the fancy things. I can't fix it from, you know, dial up or remote or anything else. It's one of those, you got to show up to do it. So that is what I am in the process of doing. KJ460D Mobile, and I guess it gets over to Rusty.
Well, that's why they give you the big bucks, Wyatt, so you can go out there and run around in that rain and get sick and keep all of the equipment working so somebody doesn't end up off the out into the nasty stuff in the grass or something. But like I said, better you than me. You're much younger, so have at it. And also, yeah, I'm just sitting here in the house. Like I said, I'm not planning to go out again until I got to leave at about 4 o'clock to go head to the church so I can open up things, since I'm the designated lock unlock this month, and this is our last service for this year. We're not going to have one on Sunday since we're having a Christmas Eve, and then everybody, all the families are gathering up tomorrow, so they've decided that, you know, maybe it's a better deal if we don't gather up all people on Sunday after we've been all over the place on Friday. So that's what we're doing, and I'll be here right on the weekend. Of course, I'm going to call a 20-meter single sideband net tomorrow afternoon about 2 o'clock, which is a good way to spend Christmas Day, and hopefully all those guys that get new radios can be on the air with them. Go ahead, Gabriel, W2T.
All right, guys. I just make a quick stop. Tom, it's nice talking to you. I hope you guys are pretty well. Rusty, the same. For everybody, well, I have to hit the kitchen because I'm going to have to do the dinner for tonight, unfortunately. I don't know. It's a tradition that I cook all the time. So hope you guys stay well and warm. Catch you guys maybe later on or tomorrow. Rusty, you gonna have a net on 20 meters? That's what I hear?
Yeah, I belong to the 3905 Century Club, and we do 20-meter nets every Saturday. And then on every other Sunday we also do them. And then on holidays, what are considered holidays, we also do them there. So about 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon on 014-315, if it's a vacant, the 3905 Century Club will be having a 20-meter net. At least that's what I'm hoping to do. Anyway, if you're not doing anything else, come on and join us. We look us up on the internet, 3905ccn.com, and we'd love to have you. We need a lot of new folks getting in with us. We're a Work Call States and DX Awards stand, so we got a lot of things going. But come on and join us if you get the chance, Gabriel, W2T.
I will try to stop by. Because looks like we ain't got nothing else to do for a couple days.
Call my wife, fire policer, KG4QLQ. Lynn, I'm halfway home. Talk to you when I get there. KG4PFI, Merry Christmas to you and everybody on the net. KG4PFI clear.
QLQ, I heard you. KG4QLQ clear.
You both, and it's nice to hear you. Well, Gabriel, sound like you got your handfuls there a little bit in the background. Hi. Oh, shoot. But, you know, I think that's nice to have a tradition like that. We're going over to the kids' house and keep our distances as best possible, and the grandkids will be there, but none of the other ones from out of town come in. It's just us and my daughter's Amy's family, our daughters, Bernice and I. But Merry Christmas to y'all. And Wyatt, I had a question here. in the old days, when back years ago when I was in the Navy, if it was really socked in, we had ground controlled approach. And on the carriers, you had CCAs. And do they still do that, where they talk you down, or they just don't have such a thing anymore?
FAA in airports. Although I think technically Donaldson can talk most planes down, but they're IFR Cat 1 facility, so you got to see the runway before you can actually land.
Okay, that Class 1 is way up there, isn't it? Well, that's outstanding. I don't know that much about it, but some, being a crew member, you know, we picked up on things. But, yeah, the carrier was 200 feet and a half a mile back then, but now they got landing systems that'll actually land those F-18s, I know, and probably other aircraft. It's amazing. And I asked a guy one night if we had landed at GSP, and he was the captain. And I said, say, by the way, I used to land on carriers. I was curious how bad it can be and you still get in. I said, this was a bad thunderstorm we just come in. I said, where did you break out? And he kind of smiled and he looked at me and he says, 250 feet. And I said, oh, my. And I mean, it was really rocking us. We come in on runway 4 that night and 250 feet. That's getting down there, isn't it?
You're flying into a Cat 3B facility, say Hartsville or Charlotte. You don't actually have to see anything, and it'll land the plane. 3A, you have to see something before you're allowed to land, and I think that's probably at the 250 mark. Your Greer may be set up for that. I don't actually have to know. I haven't looked at their stuff. Pattern altitude at Donaldson is 1,800 feet, I believe. And I think, to be honest, I really have no idea off the top of my head what the actual minimums are for Cat 1. I'd have to look it up. I don't know that stuff. I don't fly it there. KJ-4CCD mobile.
Thanks, Wyatt.
No. And I don't do a whole lot of flying anyway, and like I said, I'm going to stick around the house here tomorrow. I don't have anywhere to go, not going to Florida this year like I have in the last couple of years. And sticking around close to the home QTH and don't really have a lot of things going on. I got a net call tomorrow afternoon, and let's see, I got another one. I think I got a 40-meter net Saturday night, and got a bunch of others here scheduled for the month. I've got to January 30th, which is the last Saturday in the month, I get to call a net too. So anyway, lots of net calling, and every Wednesday night I call one, and got to be back tonight to call a South Carolina single sideband net if I get back in time. And also from church. So anyway, I'll let you guys carry on. I'm starting to file stuff into boxes instead of into stacks, so I'm going to get need both hands here for a little bit. Anyway, y'all be careful out there, Wyatt, and Tom, you stay dry if you go wandering around the neighborhood again, and Gabriel, cook a good meal for those folks. I'm sure they enjoy it. W2T clear. Go ahead, Gabriel.
Out, Rusty. 73, and talk to you later, Rusty. Yeah, Wyatt, you know a lot, and it's just interesting to me. And I don't fly either. Never have. But it's just interesting technology, and fascinating what they can do today with what they have at the airports. It really is. I listen to it a lot, but probably out of date by about 50 years, what I know what.
Make sure I wish everybody a Merry Christmas, in case I missed somebody. I'm sure I did. And yes, I will actually be in the shelter when I get to the airport, so I'm not going to be out there. The thing that's going to kill me is the mud. As far as air navigation goes, we're still using AM all the way across the whole shebang. So it's still old technology, but they have managed to adapt a few things like ADS-B as a cool idea, which, again, it's sort of like APERS. It just sits there and beacons and passes the beacons around. And it's kind of cool that, you know, if you're within of a ground station, you can also pick up, you know, NEXRAD radar images and other things off of it. So, you know, still using analog stuff, KJ4 CTD mobile.
Yeah, and in this area, I know you'd probably have to have that ADS-B. It was a requirement starting this year. That is really great. And now they use it globally so they can... I know my nephew, he flies 787s and a lot of times to Korea and Hong Kong and places down in the South Pacific. And they didn't used to be able to do anything but their computerized reporting of their position. But now... I don't know if it's because of the Iridium satellites or what, but they can do the, it's sort of like, I guess it is APRS, and that's pretty amazing, and I think it's a real good idea, although it's probably a little pricey for general aviation. It is readily available, and it's really a great idea. And they got the GPS approaches now. I went up with the my daughter's neighbor the other day, and we went down to Clemson, and he used a GPS approach, and it's just, boy, that'll get you right down there within a few feet too.
No GPS, I just don't trust it, especially when you're landing like a 787 or something with a whole bunch of people on it. Somebody can jam that signal and then you're just kind of out of luck. It's a lot harder to jam a directional signal.
I never thought about that. I don't know what Steve uses. It's an all glass cockpit in that 787. It's really a beautiful plane. I remember when they landed at Oshkosh the first time, and I had a picture of Steve going up the ramp up to the plane. He says, "I'm going to fly one of these days, Rouse." And by golly, he does. I think it's... 13 to 16 hours on some of them flights.
My stuff, old antique stuff, which is really good, but generally speaking, they use the GPS approach to get to the to get on final, and then use the ILS to get down. Which, you know, I'm okay with that. And, you know, if it's a VFR kind of day, I guess you could use GPS. Not a problem with that. But, you know, the FAA looks at it from the standpoint of what is most cost-effective. And that's why they're trying to get rid of as much ground equipment as they can. NDBs are practically non-existent now. They were kind of dumb in the first place. You just use a direction finder to figure out where it was. And, you know, generally speaking, I think they're even trying to get rid of VORs.
Yeah. This is N0TR. We had a thing in the S-2s, which were a twin-engine recip plane on the carrier. It was called a bearing distance heading indicator, and they used TACAN in the military.
In the same category as VORs. But still, it's all, you know, same thing. But VORs and TACANs, they require a lot of maintenance, fuel maintenance, to keep them running.
See? Yeah, and then if all else failed, you had ADF, and we even had a sextant, which they practiced with that thing, and the silly thing worked.
When they do celestial navigation while they're driving around, while they're flying around, but you know, the FAA still use INS, inertial navigation.
T3 that I flew on, the Orions, they used inertial navigation because you had to wait for them to spin up before you took off. And we had a navigator, which I sat next to a lot of times. He had a glass there. Oh, I can't remember how big it was, Wyatt. And it had a map on it, and it had a thing they called a crab. And that crab was you, and the inertial would keep that crab moving down the coast of Vietnam or China or Korea, wherever you was at. And then every now and then you'd fly over a fixed navigational spot, and he'd push a couple of buttons and resynchronize it because it would drift a little bit. And the inertial worked really good.
FAA's checking my equipment and other people's equipment. They actually use INS and GPS to test against my signal. So they have two different types of reference. And, you know, it seems to work pretty good. And they see all sorts of weird RF out in the field. And, you know, that they can pretty well match things up.
Well, they had in the P3, they had a sextant, and they could stick it out the top of the aircraft, and then they had a drift meter, and you stuck that out the side so that you could try to get a fix on where you were going, because the wind was pushing you from the side, and then they'd do a star shot or a sun shot, and then figure the drift. And if you was out over the ocean and you had nothing else, which was highly unlikely, it would get you to land anyways, probably.
I use that technique anymore. But anyway,
attention. But you know, you keep these navigators on the ball. I don't know what I'd have done in survival camp without them. Those guys, you know, they—I didn't even know how to read a compass right at that time, and. They keep us going in the right direction. We relied on them a lot.
Right? Just look up. That's north.
I never did have to do it, and I never had to use those maps that show you the mountains and the valleys and all that. I just never had to do that, but I'd kind of like to learn it, but I'm too old to do it, so wouldn't be any really reason for it.
So the bridges went through the 3585 inner confusion. Actually, topography? That's the right word. Those maps are kind of fun to look at.
I never did feast the big lakes and that topographical there. You know, it could show you underneath the water as well as above it, but it's pretty confusing if you don't know what you're doing. And, the navigators, they did, and I hunted with guys. But now, heck, they just carry these GPS handheld things. What?
Mobile and half miles of visibility. Yeah, you know they're kind of cheap now, but if that's what you got, that's what you got. It'll work, but. I know, looking at Google Earth, hate to point out big tech, but they do have some good maps. They're now actually starting to put in undersea measurements as well as the regular elevation measurements. And that's, you start looking at, you know, like over by Hawaii and looking at the seamounts or down in the Caribbean and looking to see just how fast the continental cliff is. It's kind of interesting stuff.
Or with the man on the mountain. Yeah, Wyatt, it is. I worked Ogasawa Island on a couple of bands a few days ago, and I always look at where they're at on QRZ, and you can go to satellite, and there was a mountain range that reached from way out there in the Pacific all the way back to Japan under the water that you could see, and that is fascinating. Now, I'm sure they've known that for a long time because the submarines need to know that to do their navigation, of course.
Let me get back to you. The visibility just dropped us off on KJ-462D.
Okay, Wyatt, you better pay attention, and I'm going to get back busy here. And really been great talking to you this morning, and thanks for the update on some of the technologies, and just nice to hear you again. KJ-4CTD, Rare DX. This is N0TR73s, and I'm clear.
All right, catch you later, and Merry Christmas again. KJ-4CTD, clear.